Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. My name is Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
And it's our issue for the month of March. And we're almost done with the month of March, by the way. Summer is coming.
Yeah.
And, of course, other things are coming in the future. Some problems regarding Taiwan's aged society, where we're getting more and more old people all the time and fewer young people. And so that's going to be a big problem for our society here, as well as in China and Japan and Korea.
They're all experiencing that, yeah.
They all have the same kinds of problems. So we can maybe learn from them. We do have a lesson to learn from Japan, as we're going to talk about later. But in any case, the title of today's lesson is Tackling Taiwan's Aging Dilemma Head-On. So yes, we do have this dilemma, which means we have two or more choices, and we can't really be sure which one to choose because they both offer advantages and disadvantages. Mm-hmm. That's what a dilemma is. And so we have this aging dilemma here, and we need to tackle it. We need to handle this problem head-on, face-to-face, and we don't want to beat around the bush.
That's right. But before we continue, we're going to listen to the article read aloud one time. We'll be back. In recent years, Taiwan has found itself dealing with the dual challenges familiar to many industrialized nations: declining birth rates coupled with an aging population. Having already transitioned into an aged society in March 2018,The island now faces an even more formidable challenge. According to projections from the National Development Council, Taiwan will evolve into a hyper-aged society by 2026, at which point one in five citizens will be 65 or older. Because of this rapid demographic shift, attention inevitably turns to Taiwan's long-term care systems.Specifically designed to assist both the elderly and the disabled with their medical and daily needs. In 2002, Taiwan's government initiated a comprehensive care service system with the aim of reducing the caregiving burden on families, laying the foundation for localized long-term care centers. Not stopping there, the government subsequently rolled out a decade-long plan in 2007.Known as LTC 1.0, which remained effective through 2016. This pioneering initiative provided an array of services, from home care and meal delivery to respite care, offering temporary relief for overburdened families. Strengthening its commitment to accessible long-term care, the government launched LTC 2.0 in 2017.Expanding eligibility to not just the elderly, but also those as young as 50 with mild dementia, and to disabled individuals of all ages. Designed as a three-tier community system, this updated approach emphasizes user-friendliness. To access services, those in need can effortlessly initiate the application process by either calling the dedicated hotline at 1-966,or reaching out to their regional management center. Upon receiving the application, the center will dispatch a care manager for an in-person home-based functional assessment, following which a tailored care plan is generated.
Okay, it's time for us to discuss the contents of today's lesson. The first paragraph says, In recent years, Taiwan has found itself dealing with the dual challenges familiar to many industrialized nations, declining birth rates coupled with an aging population. So these are two problems that are happening at the same time. We've got declining birth rates, which means people are having fewer and fewer children, and it's coupled or added to with this problem of the aging population. People are living longer all the time, and we're seeing more and more old people out there, or elderly people, if you will. And of course, these are dual challenges, which means we've got two challenges. That's what dual means here, two things happening. And these challenges are familiar to lots of industrialized nations, countries that are advanced. You know, they're first world countries. They are industrialized. They have industry. They're advanced, just like Taiwan and Japan are. And yes, indeed, this is a problem that lots of industrialized countries are facing. I guess third world countries may not have this problem so much because they still have plenty of children there.
Yeah, they're still having lots of kids. A lot of the European countries, though, that let in a lot of refugees who are from Islam-based religions, they're having lots of kids. So it's getting kind of interesting. You can have a dual role. Maybe for the ladies out there, you have a dual role of being a mom and also someone who works outside the house. Or a dad is a dual role, right? He's a dad, and he's also someone who might be a manager or something like that outside the home. So most of us have more than just dual roles, though. We can be sisters, aunts, moms, cousins, best friends. There are lots of roles that we take up as a person here. Well, this is just a dual challenge we're talking about. And most industrialized nations are facing it now. A lot of countries, just the people were unwilling to keep having kids, or they'd have one or two. And nowadays, Tom, I'm running into a lot of people that don't have any kids. They're not married, but they have a dog.
Oh,
or they
great.
Have a cat.
The dog can take care of them when they're older, or the cat can. They're
good
very
luck.
Useful that way. Yeah. They can go get your food for you and help you change your diapers when you're 85 years old and bedrid. But in any case here, yes, these are challenges that many people in industrialized nations know about. Having already transitioned into an aged society in March 2018, the island of Taiwan now faces an even more formidable challenge. So if you transition, you change from one state to another. And yes, indeed, Taiwan is now considered an aged society. It's no longer considered a young society like, say, Indonesia or other countries that have more children than they have old people. But here we've got more old people than young people, therefore Taiwan is an aged country, and this transition has made that change. And of course, we've got this formidable challenge. Formidable is also a way to pronounce this word. Mm-hmm. That just means it's something very strong and very difficult to face. Get into the boxing ring if you're a boxer, and you'll face a formidable opponent or a formidable opponent, somebody who is very strong and very difficult to defeat.
Oh, yeah. You can also use formidable or formidable to describe a boss or a friend or someone that you do business with. This person inspires fear or respect because usually they have a lot of power, or maybe they're really large. Some of the opponents that climb into the boxing ring could be very formidable or formidable because they're very intense and they're very strong and they only win. So you can use it for people as well. Maybe you like to climb mountains, and a formidable challenge would be climbing Mount Everest, which everybody thinks is quite difficult, very challenging. So I wanted to mention something. You might be thinking, what's the difference between saying an aging population and an aged population? It's the same. Typically, you're going to hear aging used more frequently, but you should know that aged is just old, right? So according to projections, people looking into the future from the National Development Society, these are people who make forecasts or project what's going to happen in the future. They say Taiwan will evolve or change slowly over time into a hyper-aged society by 2026.
Ooh.
Hyper means quick, very fast, very a very strong movement, you could say. Hypermarkets are those big stores like Costco and Walmarts, things like that. But here, it's going to be a hyper-aged society very quickly. 2026 is around the corner. And at that point, 1 in 5 citizens This is amazing to me. Mm. 1 in 5 citizens will be 65 or older. That's an old society.
My goodness. And those people may have to continue working into their old age. You might see lots of elderly people working in restaurants and things like that. Who knows? It could be interesting. And because of this rapid demographic shift, attention inevitably turns to Taiwan's long-term care systems, specifically designed to assist both the elderly and the disabled with their medical and daily needs. So we've got this demographic shift. Demographics have to do with the population, basically the structure of the population. You know, how many people are old, young, male, female, which races they are. That's all about demographics. And it's a shift. It's a big change. So inevitably, at the end, this is unavoidable. This debate turns to Taiwan's long-term care systems. As you know, as people get older, they may be healthy, yes, indeed. But some people, get problems, dementia, cancer, various things. So they need extra care. And therefore, Taiwan's long-term care systems do need to be looked at in regard to this.
Yeah, so here's one of our vocab words, inevitably, which is an adverb. We'll use inevitable, which is an adjective, or inevitably when we're trying to say this is going to happen. There's no way around it. It's unavoidable. Maybe because we've experienced something in the past and we just our experience shows us or tells us this is going to happen. So because of this shift in demographics where more and more people are elderly, attention inevitably, or of course it's going to turn and take a look at Taiwan's long-term care systems. What are they like? How are they set up? Do we have enough tax dollars to pay for them? These are all things that need to be talked about and considered. Specifically, these long-term care systems that are designed to help or assist both the elderly and the disabled. If you're disabled, something is not quite right with your body or your mind. It could be either one. It's somebody's having a physical or mental condition that limits what they can do, maybe how much they can move or how clear their brain is. So we have these long-term care systems that also help out with the disabled, and it takes care of their medical and their daily needs, like their meals and, you know, who takes care of them, make sure that they go to the bathroom or change their diapers, things like that.
Right. So here, disabled is referring to this entire group of people, the disabled. You can use this similarly with like the poor,
the needy,
the rich, the needy, etc.
Yeah.
Are the rich helping out the poor enough, for example? And yes, indeed, to be disabled means that you have some sort of problem. Maybe you have to be in a wheelchair. Maybe you're blind. Maybe you have some kind of an emotional problem or something like that. And so we need to address this, and we need to look at the needs of those people. We need to look at the needs of the disabled and of the elderly. And, of course, this will increase medical costs, and it will be a large strain on the National Health Insurance System or Corporation. And so this does need to be looked at as we move into the future. Okay, that brings us to the midway point in our lesson for today. Let's listen to our Chinese teacher.
Hello, everyone. 我是派老师，今天讲解的是3月27号 Unit 15 Tackling Taiwan's Aging Dilemma Head On Day 1。这个单元所介绍的是台湾的长照制度。台湾和日本一样，都是经济发展程度很高的已开发国家，但是在社会方面也面临少子化和人口老化的问题。为了减轻国民家庭负担，政府推出长照制度，协助照顾年长者，而且还推陈出新，从2017年开始实施长照 2.0， 让制度更加完善。好，我们一起来看学习重点吧。请同学看到第一段第一个句子， Taiwan has found itself dealing with， 请同学把dealing 的 ing 圈起来，那 find 这个字的用法是后面加上受词，这里是反身代名词 itself， 表示是台湾 dealing with， 那后面在 itself 后面是受词补语，那补语的部分呢，如果是动词的话，你必须要做动词变化， 有些时候是 ing， 有些时候呢是过去分词，要看文意上到底是主动的还是被动的。那因为台湾它必须要去面临这些挑战嘛， deal with the challenges 是主动的，所以我们就加上 ing。 所以台湾呢在近年来有双重的挑战。那什么样双重的挑战啊？就如同其他已开发国家 declining birth rates 生育率下降， coupled with 这个词语请同学画起来，还有一个再加上什么 an aging population， 就是我在开头说的人口老化。请同学看到第二个句子，那台湾哦后面主要子句 the island 指的当然就是我们台湾，台湾是个岛国嘛。好，那台湾呢其实已经进入了 transition into an aged society， aged society 这里用的是 ed， 那就表示已经是老的社会，老化的社会了。如果是 aging， 那就表示说我们正在老化当中， everyone is aging， 每个人呢都是在变老的。好，再来请同学看到这个句子最后面的部分，学一下词语搭配。我们常常说挑战，很大的挑战，同学想到的形容词大概都是 big， 知道可以写 major challenge， 已经算是相当不错的程度。但这里呢还有另外一个更好的形容词 formidable challenge， 就是这样的挑战会让人心生畏惧的。那第三个句子，我们知道2026年台湾就要进入超高龄社会，超高龄社会是什么？ Hyper age society。 好，再来我们看到第四个句子，所以台湾在过去这几十年来啊，像在民国七十八十年代，也就是呢西元八零九零年代的时候，我们的经济快速起飞，那时候很多家庭都至少有两个三个的孩子，那我们的人口结构改变了，所以 demographic shift这里当然就是指的我们人口结构上的转变。好，那这样子的转变会造成什么样子的现象呢？ Attention inevitably turns to， 大家都开始注意到台湾的长照制度 Long-term care systems， 请把 long-term care systems 画起来，就是长照制度。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back. Welcome back, guys. This is our issue unit. We're talking about some sort of issue or problem, and this one's local. We're tackling Taiwan's aging dilemma head on. So we're looking at some of the problems we have because our population is getting older and we're not having enough kids. So who's going to take care of the elderly as they age? It's a definite problem, and it's not just Taiwan that has this issue. We're seeing this issue pop up, especially in Asia, because people, you know, even 30 years ago, were just having one or two kids. And now some of the young people out there don't even want to get married. They think, oh, I'll just get a dog. A dog is great.
And push it around in a stroller. Yes. Yeah, you see that all the time, especially those poodles.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of poodles.
I'm not either.
I like big dogs.
Me
but
too.
Of course, they're harder to take care of in the city.
Yeah.
That's why a lot of people have younger dogs. But hey, we're not talking about dogs. We're talking about the problem of aging in Taiwan and being able to take care of the elderly and the disabled. Now, in 2002, Taiwan's government initiated or began a comprehensive care service system with the aim or with the goal of reducing the caregiving burden on families, laying the foundation for localized long-term care centers. So this happened way back in 2002. That's already about, 20 years ago.
Good for them, yeah.
Yeah, they had this comprehensive care service system. If something's comprehensive, it is complete. It includes pretty much all aspects or all elements of this particular question or this particular problem. And yes, indeed, it's a comprehensive care service system. They set this up, and its goal, again, is to reduce the caregiving burden on families. Okay, so of course, if you've got someone sick at home, you can't go off to work, or you can't go off to be with your friends. And so we want to lessen the burden on families. families, and that's what the goal of this particular care service system is.
And because Taiwan's government initiated or started this comprehensive care service system, now we have a foundation that's already been established or laid for localized long-term care centers. So it wouldn't be something that's national. It's going to be localized. It's going to be in your own community. And they would have these long-term care centers, maybe in each district or even smaller neighborhoods, perhaps. Mm. But not stopping there. That's not where they're stopping. They're continuing to work on this problem. The government subsequently rolled out... If you roll out a plan, it just means you're introducing a new plan, and it usually is something that either a corporation does, they'll roll out their latest products, or a government's rolling out some sort of law or regulations that they've passed. This is a decade-long plan. In 2007, that's what they did. So they rolled out a decade-long plan in 2007. Decade, of course, is 10 years, so that was going to be in effect from 2007 to 2017. That was known or called the LTC 1.0, and that remained effective through 2016. So that's when it stopped being effective. That's when it was no longer in effect. You could say that as well. This pioneering initiative is something that the government was pretty proud of, I think. What were they doing, Tom, this pioneering initiative?
Well, they were providing an array of services, a variety of services, and we've got a range of those services from home care and meal delivery to respite care, and this offered temporary relief for overburdened families. So that's what this program offered here. It was a pioneering initiative, which is like a new project, a kind of a new business, if you will, a new activity, and it's designed, of course, to bring about some sort of change or to improve things in society or even make some money for your new company. And it's an initiative, a new idea. And of course, the services include home care. People can stay home and be cared for there. They don't have to move into a nursing home or something like that. You can also have meals delivered. People can bring food to your house. Of course, sometimes it's difficult to get out and buy a bandung for lunch or dinner or whatever.
Yeah.
And respite care. What exactly is that, anyway?
Yeah, respite. Respite just means a really short rest that you're going to take, or maybe you get a period of relief from doing something that's really difficult or unpleasant, a respite from your daily life, a respite from your daily burdens. Here's a respite care refers to families who are taking care of someone long-term in their homes, and this person needs daily care, right? Mm. Maybe they have a child who was born with a condition that they just don't really function much in life. And that can be very, very tiring on family members who are always having to deal with that particular child or relative. It could be a parent, right? We have elderly moms and dads who stay in our homes and you have to take care of them. And that can be just exhausting for the family. Well, this particular initiative actually offered respite care, meaning they offered some sort of nurse or just somebody who would go into the home and act as a replacement for the family so they could go off maybe and take a vacation or get away for a while, maybe just a day or two. But that's important because caring for someone long-term is exhausting and it does get old and it makes you kind of lose your joy for life if you're constantly caring for someone. So this was a way to offer temporary relief for overburdened families, which I think is really important.
Yeah, again, respite care is kind of temporary. When my mother-in-law was sick at home, we had a nurse nurse come by for about 2 or 3 hours every day to take care of some things while the rest of us were busy with other things. And yes, indeed, this can provide relief for those families. So that's a choice, and hopefully these services will continue to be offered. And here in the next paragraph it says, strengthening its commitment to accessible long-term care, the government launched LTC 2.0 in 2017. So they want to continue its commitment, or the government wants to continue its commitment for this accessible long-term care. If something's accessible, you can use it. You can get to it. Anybody can get to it. Anybody can have access to it. And yes, indeed, they began this new initiative, which was called LTC 2.0. This came out about 6 years ago or 7 years ago in 2017.
Yeah, if you expand eligibility, it just means it's offering its program to more people than ever before. If you're eligible for something, you pass some of, you satisfy some of the conditions that you can get some sort of help. And here, they're allowing more people in, not just the elderly, but now they're offering help to those as young as 50 with mild dementia. If you have dementia, you're starting to forget things. If it's mild, it's just little things. You can probably still, be allowed to take care of yourself a bit. I don't know how bad it can get. I had a friend whose mom had very serious dementia when she was 45.
Oh,
so
no.
Sometimes you're born with something that just gets bad very quickly. But that is very young to have dementia at 50. So it's a chronic or persistent disease of the brain. And you just little by little forget things until one day they can't remember even their own family members.
Right. So it's for people as young as 50 who have similar problems. And designed as a 3-tier community system, this updated approach emphasizes user friendliness. So it's a 3-tier system. A tier is like a level. So it has a lower level, middle level, high level, or whatever. Those are different tiers. And, of course, it emphasizes user friendliness. In other words, it's easy for people to have access to. It's easy for them to use this particular system.
Yeah, we use tier also to talk about cakes for you bakers out there. If you have a 3-tier cake, you have 3 levels of your cake. Well, to access these services, those in need, those of you out there that are listening, can effortlessly initiate or start the application process. You can either call the dedicated hotline, if it's a dedicated hotline. That's the only thing that they do all day, is to answer questions or inquiries from people who dial 1-966. Or you can also reach out to your regional management center. You probably have a regional management center in your neighborhood or in your district. You can get a hold of them. Maybe you call. Maybe you just stop by. Upon receiving the application, then you're going to have someone called a care manager who will be dispatched or sent out. That's what dispatch means, to send somebody out or send something out. They will meet with you in person. They'll have an in-person, home-based functional assessment. They'll take a look at what you're going through, what kind of things you have need of. Maybe you have some people in your family that can watch somebody, you know, part-time. But they'll do that assessment. They'll look at things, decide what you need and what you don't need. And then following that in-person, home-based functional assessment, they'll come up with a tailor-made plan or a tailored care plan for you that they come up with. So that is generated. If you come up with something, you produce it, you generate it. And again, an assessment is an evaluation or an estimation of something. You look at everything and you judge its ability or judge something, and based on what you come away with, they'll come up with some answers for you, hopefully.
Right. So this sounds like the situation is being handled, but of course it's much more complicated than that. And we need to learn more as the population continues to get older, and we'll find out some lessons from Japan in our next lesson. But right now we'd like to hear once more from our Chinese teacher.
再来请同学看到第二段第一个句子，台湾政府推出或启动了Initiated, 那我们通常会说就是启动了，开始推出什么。 initiated a comprehensive care service system, 是相当全面的照护。再来，请同学看到逗点之后的分词构句。这么做为后面呢奠定了基础 laying the foundation。好，再来，请同学看到第二个句子。这里呢一样是推出的意思哦 ,rolled out, rolled out。好，再来请同学看到第三个句子，有一个词语很有趣也很重要，请同学画起来。讲到长照的时候，我们知道其实是政府社会想要呢承担某一些家庭的照护责任，因为有一些家庭里面可能只有一个人要负责照护，任何人体力体能都是有限的，如果要长期照顾病人可能不堪负荷，所以呢长照服务有一个喘息的照护 respite care， 就是由社会社福单位来协助这个平常的主要照护者。好，再来请同学呢看到第三段第一个句子，逗点之后的主要子句 The government launched LTC Long Term Care 2.0， 所以这个 launch 也是推出的意思。好，那这个照护的对象哦就不再只是老人了，那50岁以上如果有轻微的失智 Dementia 所指的就是失智，那也是可以是受到照护的对象。再来请同学看到第三个句子，好，那假设你的家庭有这些需求的话该怎么办呢？如果你需要这样子的服务，想要取得这样的服务 To access services， 那这里当然就是取得，进一步的想要去取得这些服务 To access services， those in need 有需求的人 can effortlessly initiate the application process， 要怎么样开始申请呢？有两种做法， calling the dedicated hotline， 就是专属的热线 dedicated hotline， 或者就是直接找区域的这些管理中心 reaching out to their regional management center。 好，以上就是我们针对长照台湾的长照制度第一天的文章所做的中文讲解，谢谢大家。
That's it for today, everybody, but please stay tuned, or at least tune in next time when we continue talking about how to tackle Taiwan's aging dilemma head-on. We're looking forward to seeing you then. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Bye.
Bye-bye.